were to give a grade to Matt Barkley for his performance this spring, what grade would you give him?
You know, this sounds strange. I don't know that I could do that just because of the variables around him. And I am on much on the Saturdays prior to this one. And it's just too hard to grade because there's the pieces, you know, as you look at, mentioned those asterisks, look at them on offense, you know, how many of them there are with the skilled guys for whatever reason, not with the linemen, but with the skilled guys with, you know, at times with all of the tight ends out, you know, and at times with almost the whole spring without George Farmer, Robert Woods, the nation's top receiver in the country, coming back with no practice at all. So it would just be too hard to do.
How come you played Matt so much on Saturday after saying on Thursday that maybe he was going to only play a little bit?
I just thought more about it. You know, the risk of injury wasn't very much because we weren't going live. And even though the quarterbacks are live, when you're going live in general, there's just more aggressiveness on the defense and on the blitzes. And so I thought it was safe from an injury standpoint. And I also thought it was good for the fans with so many stars being out of the scrimmage. It was good for them, you know, for those the fans that came to see us play a little bit. You know, I felt bad that we weren't tackling for him, so I thought at least we'd play Matt a little more.
And one more thing. We came into spring with a lot of questions about George Farmer and Buck Allen. Do you feel like any of those questions were answered, or did those two guys still have a lot to prove in the fall in your mind?
Well, I think it was good to see George flash, you know, those first couple of practices like he did and catch the ball really well and improve on his routes. And so he looked like a complete receiver, you know, for those couple of days. Now, obviously, that wasn't the same as Saturday scrimmages and games in the fall, but that was good to see. It was disappointing not to continue to develop him because of him not practicing. So, and with Buck, I think there's still a lot to know. You know, with tailbacks, without a lot of live tackling going on, you know, there's a lot to know there. But Buck's got a long ways to go getting comfortable in our system because he's done so little since he's been here.
Thank you.
Hey, Lane, you said you'd probably be able to, after the looking at the film and that, have a better sense of the defensive line play, especially with the tackles. What sense do you have after getting a chance to see some more and think about it some more? How do those guys come out of spring?
Yeah, I think we feel really good about the two ends, and Wes and Devon, and them staying right, Wes on the right and Devon on the left, and they've improved, and Devon's the healthiest that he's been. We have some work to do inside. You know, George is a dominant player at times. We need to work on him being more consistent. And, you know, the other guys really haven't played very much. JR played a little bit, and none of the other guys have played. So to get Cody back from surgery, Christian back from surgery, will be good to throw in there with Antoine and JR, because that's going to be a very important position for us to develop a rotation there.
How do you have a sense of, say, the Antoine and JR in terms of, you know, giving you two kind of different players, next to George, let's say? Do you think they can kind of get there? They've got that ability?
I think that, like you mentioned, they're very different players, you know, in their style. JR is much smaller and quicker, and Antoine's bigger. So they do give some different things there. You know, they're not playing like George is right now at that level. So we have work to do there. And in fairness to JR, he's a little bit out of position. He's really more of a three technique. But with George being our three technique, he's playing those for us. So he's not sitting over there behind George.
Hello, Lane.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, just a question on Turk and Jordan Simmons. You know, they're listed as guards. Is there a possibility that they could potentially end up playing one of the tackle positions?
Yeah, those things mean, like I said, those things mean nothing. We don't know enough about those guys. All three of those guys potentially could be, they're all long enough to be tackles, and they all could be guards. And, you know, so, you know, those three freshmen coming in, we don't know enough to know. We'll move them around and figure it out.
And about Scroggins, does he still have a chance to end up in that backup role at quarterback?
He's going to have to, you know, step one is academics before we even get into those conversations. So he's got a big 2 weeks here that he's going to have to finish real strong so that he can be eligible.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Hey, Lane, can you, I think you had said that, you know, there weren't any major huge positions won there, but it seems like you have found a left tackle, at least listing Andre Walker there. Can you explain, is that set in stone? He is the left tackle, and if he is, can you explain why, how he ended up winning that?
Well, of the guys that practiced this spring on our roster right now, that practiced, he would be the left tackle. Now somebody else could come in, either once Chad Wheeler got healthy or three of the incoming guys. You know, we'd always leave those competitions open. It just makes too much sense, you know, to leave Kevin where he's got 12 games under his belt over there on the right side. And Andre's length is so unique, his size and length, you know, and that obviously helps you a lot on that, on the left side, you know, that he has a very high ceiling. And so it's exciting at times when you see some plays, you know, that look like, you know, that look like first rounders do. He's got that type of ability. Now he's got a long ways to go to get there.
At the one cornerback spot, you've got three guys listed there as oars. Did Wiley not do enough? I mean, started the last six games. Did he not do enough in the spring to make you think he's going to be the starting guy?
No, because I think as you look at that, there's some interesting stories there in that, you know, Torin was the starter, and so there's nothing saying once Torin comes back and that shoulder's healthy that he won't beat him out because he had done it before. And then Brian Bauckham flashed at times and did some really good things, but he's got to finish strong these next couple weeks to make sure that he's eligible.
And then finally, you know, you've got Bauckham kind of listed there in the mix, but you seem a little bit hesitant to talk about Jesse Scroggins. I mean, we know he's got some academic issues, but if he gets through those academic issues, is he in the mix to, you know, be right alongside Wittick and Kessler, or is he behind them?
Well, like I said, doesn't make much sense on him to jump ahead. Everybody's different in their situations, and so I'm not going to go into exact details of every grade in their classes where they're at. So some people where they have some work are right there, and some people have a long ways to go, and so they're all different. And Jesse's got a long 2 weeks here. He's got to dig himself out of a hole. So if he doesn't do that, it doesn't make any sense to project anything past that.
I know you've been saying the depth chart doesn't mean much, but you had talked about, even before this, you know, giving Nelson Aguilar a look at both receiver and running back. What are the challenges inherent in that? I mean, I remember when Joe McKnight first came in, the coaches talked about maybe him being a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, is it possible to, you know, coach up a freshman at two positions like that?
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful, obviously, because you want guys to do things really well and not be too spread out. I think Nelson's a little bit unique because Nelson has a great love for learning football. He loves studying it, watching the films, watching cut-ups, playbook work. He's very, very mature for his age, much like Robert was. Very similar to each other in that aspect. So we'll see. You know, if anybody could handle it, he'd be able to. And we wouldn't have probably done that if it wasn't for Trey's injury. But I think we've got to look at some things because we need to find some yardage in the passing game out of the running back position.
And just kind of taking a look at the big picture, I mean, how do you feel about this team heading into fall, you know, with all of the expectations that are surrounding it?
Yeah, like I've said before, you know, we addressed that at the beginning of spring and we'll address it at the beginning of fall, but it's got nothing to do with how we prepare just because some magazine says we're going to, you know, be number one or number two. You know, that's got nothing to do with no team's going to lay down and give us easy games on Saturdays because of that. So we have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of question marks. You know, people can say what they want and their projections and all that. And I think it's nice from a standpoint of it does show that, you know, that SC right now is at a national at a point where they're getting a lot of national respect, which is good. You know, that's what we'd expect from our program, especially all the stuff that we've gone through, and all the stuff of where I would think everybody would predict we'd be right now. You know, 21 months ago, I don't think anybody would predict this. So it's good, but also has nothing to do with winning the games. And I think it'd be pretty hard for me to pick a team preseason number one that's going to play with at least 10 players less than everybody else does.
Lane, what was the rationale for listing Kyle Negrete and Alvarado as, you know, or at punter? Did Negrete not do enough last year to kind of cement his status there?
No, that's going to be a wide open competition. You know, just like any of our other spots would be. You know, and you know, we need to figure that out. And Kyle did do some really good things, and it could even be we've even discussed. You know, Kyle's probably biggest strength is tight punting. You know, as you saw how many balls were inside the 10 comparable to touchbacks. And so, you know, just like you do with other positions, we're going to find the best thing. And there's nothing saying that maybe Chris doesn't become the long punter and Kyle becomes a shorter punter. So we'll figure it out in fall.
And then is there anyone coming out of spring, any players that are going to have any kind of minor cleanup type surgeries, before the season, or is everyone set to go other than Trey?
No, I think we did all that. We did some after the season, and we did Christian Thomas again to get that done, and Cody Temple. So that's why I said it's exciting. It's exciting to project to the fall, even though it feels like it's coming up here, you know, in a week or two. It's not, but to know not only these new guys coming in, but also there's a bunch of other guys that throw into this thing to make us better on offense, defense, and special teams, you know, and an exciting news last week about Josh Shaw in that group too. So I know I've used the word a couple of times here, but we're just truly really excited that spring's over, we have one major injury, and that we can get all these new guys in, including walk-ons, get everybody in this thing, and start to truly try to develop depth within these sanctions.
In terms of looking toward the fall and then August practice and all that, do you guys at this point in time look at, say, next year's schedule and say, well, you know, we've got, the front half looks with Stanford the third, you know, Stanford, Cal, Utah, Washington, boom, boom, like that fairly quickly in the schedule. Does that change your approach to kind of how you, say, look at August practice and how you think about things through the summer?
No, not at all. You know, you got to be, nowadays, you got to be ready no matter who you're playing. You know, you saw that last year. We almost screwed up early in the year, with Minnesota and Utah. So you've got to, it doesn't matter who you're playing, where they're scheduling, you got to get your team ready to go in fall camp. And we're going to have a great camp and really improve in all areas for a very competitive schedule that I think is competitive throughout the schedule. You know, anytime that, you know, Notre Dame's sitting there at the end and in the last quarter of the season, Oregon as well. And it's going to be very competitive, and a lot of new, really good coaches in the conference. We're going to make it even more competitive.
The running back position's obviously a big concern from a depth standpoint. Do you, in hindsight, wish you had signed someone maybe in January or brought someone in January? Because at one point you did have a commitment from a tailback to come in early.
So I wouldn't really say hindsight. You know, I mean, we knew what we were doing all along, and things change in recruiting all the time, you know, and generally speaking, you know, there's always, you know, stuff that isn't out there, you know, whether a kid can qualify or whether a kid can become a January enrollee for you, you know, whether they can get into USC. So there's a lot of stuff sometimes you guys don't know on that.
In terms of the staff this spring, the new additions, how do you feel like they were? They came along during the spring?
I thought it was great. You know, really, one of the bigger storylines of spring was, you know, those three guys working with not just the players, but the coaches and the systems and everything involved here and their first taste of recruiting here. They're off to a great start. So I could not be more pleased with all three of them. And, you know, I think really, I just think the play of our back seven has been I know it's just spring, but it's by far the best since we've been here this time around. And that would obviously be a big key to our success in an area where we haven't been great at. All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good one. See you in July.